Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Duke Backus. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
How many of you have ever been through a circumstance where you've found yourself, you know, in need of Jesus? You found yourself in a moment where all of a sudden you were caught up in a circumstance, you were caught up in something, and you needed Jesus. And so we read that verse in concert last week, and we declared that this is the day. Everyone say this again. Say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Say it one more time like you mean it. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. There's something so powerful about that statement. To rejoice means to find joy again. It means that you have sought after Jesus. You've brought your life to the Lord. You've come before Him. And you've sought to renew your strength. We don't eat one meal a week and expect to be nourished and healthy for the rest of the week, do we? No, we don't. And so in the same manner, where we find our strength is we find that in coming to Jesus every single day. We come to Him to find renewed strength, renewed joy, renewed mercy. And we bring that before the Lord. We say, Lord, I will rejoice. If you start your day with joy, my friend, you will have the strength to endure it. But if you find yourself without, you know, bringing, you know, your day to Jesus, and you just show up and you just begin to go about your business, and all of a sudden the enemy begins to attack. He begins to do stuff in your heart, do stuff in your life. He begins to throw things in your way to discourage you, to get you to doubt the Lord or what have you. You'll find yourself in need of reaching for joy. And when you need it to lean on the Lord, you won't find it if you haven't first rejoiced in God. To find joy is something that we all must seek after, but we must seek Jesus first, because He's the source of it. He's the one that gives us, church, the power. He's the one that gives us the strength to walk through the day. If you try to walk through a day on your own strength, in your own power, you will find yourself by the end of the day weak and weary and burdened. You will find yourself frustrated. You'll find yourself losing hair and turning gray because of everything that it is that you have gone through. And so the Lord is wanting you and I to pursue Him so that we can find joy in Him. Amen? And the answer is very simple. Joy is always found in Jesus. But I love what the book of James says. He says, consider it pure joy, my friends. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you go through trials of many kinds. So now all of a sudden we see the scriptures being linked to what? Trial and joy. You have to go through something in order to be strengthened in your life. The things that you are going through right now, the things that are you know, the Lord is pruning off of your life, or the Lord is demanding from you, the conviction that you have in your life, whatever it is that the Lord is doing to work in your life is to grow you in God. It's to mature you in God. It's not just to be something where it's like, well, I'm just going through this thing. You're not on life's roller coaster and it's just demanding wherever you go. But we're actually in this life with Jesus. He goes on to say, because you know that the testing of your faith, it develops perseverance in your life, and perseverance must finish its work so you may be mature and complete and not lacking anything. But joy is something that we find in the midst of trial. Sometimes you guys are probably like me in this sense. Nobody likes bad news. Amen? Nobody wants to hear bad news. Nobody wants to wake up and say, you know what, I hope something bad happens today. You know what, I really hope that, you know, I just go through a really tough trial today. We don't ever wake up asking for that, but how many of you know we need to take our vitamins too? We need to wake up some days and we got to eat our vegetables and we've got to get the thing that is going to nourish us the most. If we were just living life without trial, if we were living life without temptation, if we were living life without burden, if we were living life without, you know, anything, you would never grow in God. It was so beautiful. I saw a picture on the internet this week, just a few days ago, and many of you remember the freeze that happened just a couple months ago. If your yard looked like mine, it probably turned nice and yellow, and all your plants probably shriveled up, you know, turned brown, and everything began to really look bad. Unless you're me, and my yard looks awesome, just in case you haven't noticed. I'll give you tips after the service. But I saw something really amazing. This picture actually alluded to it, and it was this big old tree stump where the owner had chopped off the tree because it had died. It was burnt up and it had shriveled up. But at the base of the tree was a little leaf, and life began to spring out of what once was dead. And when the Lord allows you to go through something, it feels like a really dead thing. It feels like, you know, a really heavy thing. It feels like the loss is so great that there's nothing left from that. And all of a sudden, God begins to spring out life from that circumstance. And when you go through the heavy things in life, my friend, when you go through those things that challenge you in such a way, it's so God can tear you down so he can build you back up again. I love the scripture in the book of Jeremiah. He talks about laying our life down to the potter so that we can be as clay before the Lord. And I gave you this illustration last week, and I reminded you, those of you who were here, I reminded you of this fact. When you are putting, you know, that clay on the potter's wheel, there's something that has to happen that's very strategic. You don't just throw it on there in any spot, because when that wheel begins to spin, the clay is just going to fly off. There's not going to be any control. There's not going to be any way that thing is going to get formed, because it's not thrown perfectly. And one of my main points last week was to center our life on Christ. And so the Lord, he takes us like clay and he centers us in that wheel so that he can begin to work that clay and he can begin to form it. And the whole reason that he works that thing and he shapes it and he gets all the air out and he gets all the bubbles out and he begins to form that clay, the whole reason why is because the fire is coming. He has to work it in such a manner, and we can use that as trial. He has to work that clay and it hurts. You ever had a massage? Anybody ever had a massage? Sometimes when they start, it's like, you know, like I'm the kind of guy that's squirmish and, you know, it hurts me. You know, I'm like, and then finally they kind of get to that point where all of a sudden it's tolerable and you go, And the Lord is working your life in the same manner, where it might hurt a little bit. It might be uncomfortable a little bit. But the reason why he's working in your life in that manner is because the fire is coming next. When you work on pottery, the next thing that happens is they have to put it in the fire. They put it in like 1500 degree temperatures. They put it in this oven called a kiln, this ceramic kiln, and they stick that piece of clay in there. And guess what? If everything was done right, when the fire comes, it will not break. When the fire comes, that piece of pottery will not shatter. And so the Lord is allowing trial in your life to build you up in the same way. The Bible calls that exact same experience the refiner's fire. That is, the Lord is allowing something to happen in your life to put you in a little bit of a hot situation. But when you're put in the refiner's fire, the scripture teaches that in that fire, the impurities are burnt off. The things that are in your life that you don't need, that you might even be holding on to, that you might even try to keep in your life, because it could be a relationship, it could be a friend, it could be some kind of sin, some kind of temptation. You think you need that thing, and God's like, no, I'm going to put it in the fire. Watch it burn off. And he allows that to happen. He allows us to go through those things so that we can get that impurity, that thing out of our life, so the end result is that you become more like Jesus. Amen? He will allow you to go through things in your life that the end result is you look more like Jesus. I've gone through circumstance in my life, my friend, and I've found myself at times where I'm experiencing something that's so heavy. And it's never easy when you're going through a heavy, heavy circumstance. But know, my friend, in Romans 8:28, the Bible says that he works out all things for the good of those who love him and who've been called according to his purpose. He's not doing it and he's not allowing it so he can harm you. He's not allowing that situation in your life to somehow, you know, force you to just, you know, be in a bad mood all the time. He's doing it because he's working in your life. Tonight, as we continue with this message, I want to shift gears a little bit, and we're still talking about joy. But I read this illustration and it says this: there is a marvelous medicinal power in joy. It says, most medicines are distasteful, but this, which is the best of all medicines, is sweet to the taste and comforting to the heart. It says, this blessed joy is very contagious. It says, one dolorous spirit brings a kind of plague into the house. It says, one person who is wretched seems to stop all the birds from singing wherever he goes, but the grace of joy is contagious. I found another quote that says this. It says, holy joy will oil the wheels of your life's machinery. Another one says this, holy joy will strengthen you for your daily labor. Another one says, holy joy will beautify you and give you an influence over the lives of others. And so my prayer for us tonight is this, is that we need to know what will keep us in the joy of the Lord. We need to understand that this is something that you must have in your life. If you meet a Christian and they don't have joy in their life, they're missing a big ingredient. If you meet a Christian and you say, hey, brother, how are you doing? How's life been treating you? To me, the scripture says that joy is what? It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's actually evidence that the Lord is in your life. But complaining does what? It robs you of joy. I have to ask this question, and I want us to just ponder on this for a second. What happens to us, and what should our response be when we are filled with joy, but then the devil gives us a negative report? You just got out of church on Sunday, and you're on fire for God. And the Lord was just moving and you could feel the tangible presence of God. You're just excited because you feel like there's no giant. There's nothing that can stand in your way. You're, you know, fired up before God. And then all of a sudden, the enemy just gives you something. He just fires one of his arrows at you. What do you do then? Think about that just for a moment. What do you do then when an act of life literally robs you of your words and your reasoning and your joy? I saw this video one time, and it was this man, and he was sending his daughter off to college. And she was, you know, a senior in high school. She had just graduated, and she was about to attend college in a city, you know, some miles away. And so they had packed up the entire vehicle, and they were prepared to send their, you know, 18-year-old daughter off to college. And she had aspirations of, you know, getting her degree and just, you know, carrying on in life. But the story that was told said that, you know, as they were beginning to travel to go to take this young girl to her destination, to her college campus, that they got in a bad accident. And they got hit by another car, by a drunk driver, and it hit them, and the truck tumbled, and she flew out of the car, and it killed his daughter. And the man was completely brokenhearted because it was his oldest child. He was completely lost, and he was completely torn because, can imagine losing one of my kids. But he uttered these words. He said this. He said, the very same God that I might question, that I might ask, why did this happen, is the very same God that I must lean on in times of tragedy. He's the very same one that I have to lean on. He's the very same one that I must lean on to get me through. In the book of Romans chapter 14, the Bible says, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Everyone say righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, the enemy is constantly waging war against these three things in your life. He is persistent in reminding the children of God of their past sins, which is their unrighteousness. But the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, it says, "God made him," that's Jesus, "who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Amen? And so what happens is the enemy is constantly targeting this area of your life. He's wanting you to go back to your past. He's wanting you to live from your past and remember all of the foul, sinful, messed up things that you were doing. And he's wanting you to live from that place and in unrighteousness, in disbelief of the fact of the work of what Jesus did for you. He's wanting you to live from that place and not realize and not remember that Jesus has in fact saved you. That his blood has washed you clean. The enemy wants you to feel unrighteous before God. The enemy is constantly targeting your peace in God as well. Why? Because peace is the evidence of God in your life. Peace is the utter evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life. It is the very thing that you can know when you feel the peace of God, you know the Lord is with you. How many of you have ever been in a situation where the peace of God just came into that circumstance, and even though the outcome hadn't come, or even though, you know, the things weren't fixed yet, you knew the Lord was with you? It's such a crazy thing to go through stuff like that, because you just don't know how it is that God is carrying you. You just don't know how it is that you're sustained. You don't know how it is that you still feel good about, you know, the circumstance that you're in. You don't understand that fully, but the Lord is with you. His evidence of his embrace is in your life. And if he can get you into situations, this is the enemy. If he can get you into a situation of strife, that he's made you believe that God isn't with you. The enemy often wants to target your peace. Because if there is no peace, or if you don't feel peace, you don't feel God's with you. You don't believe God is with you. And so the enemy is going to want you to go through strife. He's going to want you to go through something that makes you feel that God's not with you. How many of you know that your feelings are not final? I said your feelings are not final. You can feel a lot of stuff in this world. You can feel a lot of things emotionally every single day, but that is not final. What Jesus has done for your life is final, amen? And lastly, he ultimately seeks to rob you of joy, because he knows that just like a baby in its mother's womb needs an umbilical cord to survive and to be nourished, he understands that without joy, believers in Christ have no strength. And so I want to share with you a few more things to find hope and joy in the Lord. Psalms 55 in verse 22, if you have your Bibles, open them up there. Psalms 55 in verse 22, you've heard this verse before. It says, "Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you, and he will never let the righteous fall." I'll say it one more time. Cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall. When we experience the unthinkable, and when we experience trials and we endure through situations that burden us, we must always remember that these situations were not meant for us to be carried in our heart. These things that we go through are not meant for us to be carried in our mind. There are circumstantial things that you will face in your life that you can, you know, maybe try to, you know, think about or have some kind of, you know, thoughts over or opinion of. But there's a big, big difference than when you carry that thing in your life as if it's something that you are to take care of. When you're carrying something that the enemy has brought against you, it actually weighs you down. It's actually holding you down. It's holding you down in such a manner where you cannot find joy because you're weighed down by something that has come into your life. And the Lord says specifically for you and I to cast that upon Him. To cast the very burden and the thing that you're experiencing, to cast it upon His life. He says this in Matthew 11 and 28. He says, come to me. Everyone say, come to me. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. He said, and I will give you rest. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. He says, for I am gentle and I am humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Christ is painting two pictures in this passage. One picture is of extreme weariness. It's like a person that has been, you know, going through a desert for a long period of time, and they're worn out, they're parched, they're exhausted because they've gone so long carrying something that they were never meant to carry. When I was a young man, I used to get to go backpacking, and you know, I lived up north where we had mountains and nice stuff like that. And it's quite exhausting when you're carrying something on your back for a long period of time. You find yourself just, you know, with every step, it just becomes more and more difficult to go on your journey, to go up the mountain, to go to the destination of where it is that you're trying to get to. And the person that is living with something in their heart, it could be offense from a friend, it could be unforgiveness, it could be some kind of secret sin that nobody else knows about. It could be something in your life that you are carrying in such a way. That thing will weigh you down. And it's just like a prisoner that has that ball and chain that he's just dragging along. And Jesus says to us, he says, bring that thing to me. Bring it to him. Whatever the weariness is, whatever the heaviness is, whatever the concern is, whatever the worry is, he's saying, listen, give it to me. But there's something else that we need to understand about this scripture. Later on in Matthew 23 and verse 4, he talks about religion. And he talks about the heaviness of the religious system. Now, some of you might be looking at me saying, Pastor Duke, well, isn't this religion? No, this is not religion. We don't preach religion. We don't preach that you have to jump through 100 hoops to get to Jesus. No, you just simply need to come to Jesus. Amen? You just simply need to come to Jesus. Oh, but Pastor Duke, what, you know, they told me that if I dress this way, then Jesus won't love me. Or Pastor Duke, if I had this thing going on in my life, then somehow I'm disqualified. No, 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 that's religion. That's what the Pharisees did. The Pharisees tried to find every single way to keep people from God. And in their own self-righteousness, they thought they were doing God some kind of justice. But in Matthew 23 and 4, it says about the religious leaders, they tie up heavy and cumbersome loads and they put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Did you know that the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they had over 600 laws that they were trying to enforce on the Hebrew people? 600 laws. Good luck with that. Good luck. None of us would stand a chance. 600 things that they were supposed to do. They were supposed to be perfect. They weren't supposed to heal on the Sabbath. They weren't supposed to do this. They weren't supposed to do that. And Jesus comes and he says, hold on a second. I'm going to change this whole thing around. You are not going to be saved by what you do. You're not going to be saved by following the law. You're going to be saved by believing in me. You're going to be saved by believing solely in me. And because so much was required from those who desired God, they were losing their desire because they couldn't keep up. The burden was too heavy. There was no way that they were ever going to find rest in Jesus. But how many of you know that Jesus is perfect? Amen. He knows exactly what it is that you and I need. And he speaks to the matter and he says, come to me. It's not even coming to church. It's not even being a member of Rock of Ages. He says, come to me. Some of the most powerful experiences that I've ever been a part of didn't happen in a church. I'm not saying the church isn't important. I'm just saying Jesus is all powerful. Jesus can do whatever, wherever, whenever he wants. He could heal the drug addict in the middle of him snorting cocaine up his nose. He can deliver somebody in the middle of their drunkenness. He can pull the chains of bondage off of a person's life just when they call out to him. This is how powerful Jesus is. It doesn't have to always be the way that the church wants it structured to be. It's just simply coming to Jesus. And so he says, come to my life. He's saying, yoke yourself to me. That word yoke actually meant that it was the very same thing that they used to put on oxen to get them to steer in the same direction. It was like this big old piece of wood that they would put over two oxen, and they would carry this thing on their back, and it would help keep them in a straight line. It would help them to keep walking in tandem with one another. And the Lord is saying, put my yoke upon you. Go in the direction that I'm taking you. For my burden, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy. It's not going to be this difficult thing for you. You say, but Pastor Duke, you know, it's been hard sometimes. Yeah, that's because you're trying to do it on your own. I remember my dad, rest his soul. He told me something one day. I was ministering to him. He said, you know, I've tried to go a whole day without, you know, saying a bad word or having a bad thought. And I said, yeah, how'd you do? He goes, I've gotten pretty close. I said, I've gotten pretty close. You know, I was almost good enough. I said, Dad, rest. Rest. It's not about your goodness. It's not about your perfection. There was one who was perfect for you. And it's receiving that and believing that in your life. To say, wait, hold on a second. I don't have to keep trying. I don't have to be perfect. I don't have to fit into somebody's box. I don't have to meet the needs of people around me. No. I just have to come to Jesus. And so no matter what the burden is that you're carrying, it could be trouble in your home. It could be trouble in your family life. It could be unforgiveness. It could be the heaviness of sin. It could be anger. It could be resentment. It could be bitterness. It could be anything. And yet the Bible says that his invitation is open to all. Every single one of us that is here tonight, his invitation is open to you. Just come to me. Come to me. And it's a simple invitation because it requires so little, but yet it offers so much. It requires so little from us to simply just say, Jesus, this thing that's been burdening my life, this thing that has consumed my thought life, that's filled my heart with all kinds of things that aren't of you, Lord, I bring it to you. And I lay it before you, God, and I won't pick it up. When you come to Jesus that way, my friend, you find liberty. When I was 19 years old, I had the privilege and honor to be able to minister alongside a good friend of mine who is also in heaven. But he was a youth pastor at another church, and he invited me to go and play drums and, you know, do what I did. And he wanted me to be a part of this service that they were having. And I was, you know, I was excited to go. I was excited to help. And so I went to this service, and it was at their church. And this is just the God honest truth. I don't remember what he said. I have no idea what the message was. All I remember was that I came to Jesus that night in a completely new way. You see, for 19 years of my life up until that point, I had carried a burden. I had carried anger and resentment in my life because my biological father didn't want me. He didn't want to have anything to do with my life. And I had this hurt, I had this pain, I had this thing that would rise up inside me that I couldn't even control. I didn't even know how to manage it. And I remember on that night, like I said, I don't remember what the message was. All I know is that they gave me an opportunity to go to Jesus. And when I went, I fell on my face before God. And the Lord pulled this root of hatred and anger and bitterness and heaviness that I had in my life. He pulled it out of my heart. And I remember I was on my face before God for hours. I don't even know how long I was there, but all I know is that I was on my face before God. And finally, when I had gotten up, I was free. I was free because that's what Jesus does. And I needed that freedom, and I didn't know how bad I needed it until I was free. You see, some of you right now are listening to my voice, and you've been carrying something in your life, and you don't realize how heavy it is until it's off of your life. When I said yes to Jesus at 15 years old, there was two things that I instantly felt. I instantly felt lighter, and I instantly felt the love of God just rush over my life. Just in a powerful, powerful way. Just as if God was pouring love into me that I had never felt. I didn't know what love was until I met Jesus. But I instantly felt free. Weight just was gone from my life. You see, and not knowing the truth of life is one of the major causes of exhaustion. Not knowing that we can actually take this to Jesus is the very thing that's going to wear you down over time. It's the very thing that's going to hold you back. It's the very thing that's going to keep you suppressed and depressed and full of anxiety and mad and angry and bitter about all these things because you're carrying this thing in your life. Jesus says this. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am what? I am the life. And the question is simple. Why should the weary and heavy laden come to Jesus? It's very simple, because He will give them rest. What are the conditions for receiving this rest? There's only one condition. Come to Jesus. It's not, well, first, Pastor Duke, you know, I got to get my life right. No, that's not it. It's just come to Him. Well, Pastor Duke, maybe I need to, you know, go through a 3-step program. No, it's not. You just need to come to Him. Well, Pastor Duke, you know, I mean, you know, I got to, you know, serve in ministry. No. Just come to Jesus. It's that simple. It's really, really that simple. The answer to rest is not searching after truth through religion, as some have made that important. It's not positive thinking, as important as that is. It's not seeking the counsel of a true or reliable friend, as important as that may seem to be. The answer is simply coming to Christ, because His rest is available. And so if you're dealing with sin, cast it on the Lord who died for your sins. Isaiah 1:18 says this, come now. I love the invitation. It's always an invitation. He says, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Let us reason together. He says, though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that He has set you free. It says, so stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Some of you have brought these things to Jesus before, but you've been enslaved again. Say, Pastor Duke, I brought this thing that I've dealt with in my life. I brought it before the Lord. I've given it to Him. I promise, you know, I went to that altar call and I prayed and I said, God, take this from me. But all of a sudden you found yourself enslaved again. The yoke of slavery in biblical terms is everything that Jesus died to free you from. It's habitual sin, it's unforgiveness, it's being weary, and full of anxiety, it's unrighteousness, it's condemnation and shame from your past. That is the yoke of slavery. 1 Peter 5:7 says this though, it says, so humble yourself therefore under God's mighty hand that He may lift you up in due time. It says, cast all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you, amen? Why am I telling you all this? Because when you come to Jesus and you let that thing go, you let that heaviness go, you let that burden go, you're able to fulfill Philippians 4 and 4 that says, rejoice in the Lord always. If you can't rejoice now, it's because something is stealing your joy. Something is stealing your joy, and it's robbing you of freedom in Jesus. Jesus, I just thank you right now. I want us to just pray, and I'm going to open this altar tonight. So as I ask you to just stand to your feet, church. I thank you, Holy Spirit. I just thank you, Lord. I thank you for your power and your mercy and your goodness. I thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, God. Holy Spirit, I don't know who this message is for tonight. In fact, I think it's for all of us, Lord. And God, there could be something that we're carrying right now that I'm just going to ask that you would just come tonight. It could be shame. It could be bitterness. It could be unforgiveness. It could be just some kind of sin in our life. It doesn't matter. The enemy right now might even be speaking to your heart to say, don't come. You know, they're gonna think some way about you. They're gonna, you know, all those things. But listen, don't allow the shame, don't allow what the enemy wants to stop from happening in your life to hold you back from receiving Jesus. And so I'm gonna ask that if that's you, you need prayer tonight, just make your way forward tonight. So I wanna pray over you. I wanna speak truth over your heart. I wanna speak just the power of God over your life, Lord Jesus. Don't allow us, Holy Spirit. Don't allow us, Holy Spirit, to say no to your voice. But Holy Spirit, move us tonight. Move us tonight. Move us, God, in such a way, Lord, where, Lord, we come to receive from you. Everyone, place your hands before you tonight, just like this. I want everyone to say, Jesus, take this burden. Say, Jesus, take this heaviness. Take this thing from my life that is keeping me from freedom and that is robbing my joy. Take this thing from my life that is keeping me from you. Holy Spirit, we just give everything to you tonight. And God, we place it at your altar, Lord. And God, we're not going to pick it up. We're not going to look to the past, Lord. We're not going to allow that to control us. We're not going to allow, Lord, hurt or shame. God, we're not going to allow, Lord, things that we've done, Lord, things that we've said, God, to be, Father God, at the forefront of our mind, Lord. But we just bring it all to you tonight, Jesus. We bring it all to you tonight, Jesus. We bring it before you, Lord, God, to find cleansing, God, to find healing, Lord, to find forgiveness, God, transformation, Lord, restoration, Lord, and rest through the Holy Spirit tonight. When the burden is lifted off of our life, Lord, then and only then, God, can we truly rejoice in you, God. When we are free, God, and we are no longer captive, God, we are no longer bound, God, by the yoke of slavery, it's then and only then that we can rejoice in you, Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that you have just, Lord, freed your children tonight, Lord. God, that every single one of us, Lord, that is in this place, Lord, within the sound of my voice, God, and those even who might be watching, Lord, this service tonight, God, I pray, Lord, that they are free right now, God. Just lift it off of them, Jesus. Just lift it off of them, Holy Spirit. Just lift that very thing, God, that they've carried, God, on their heart, Lord, and on their own, God. Just lift it off of them, Lord, tonight, that they might find freedom in you, Lord, that they might find rest in you, God. I don't want us to leave this place tonight, Lord, the same way that we walked in. But I want us to find true freedom in you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
True freedom. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for the work. I thank you for the word. I thank you for the power, Lord, of your truth tonight. And Holy Spirit, I know that you've spoken to us, Lord. And so, Lord, I pray, God, that this word, God, is firmly planted, Lord, in the life of every single one of your children, Lord. And that, Lord, they would understand and they would know, Lord, that it's for freedom that you've set us free. And they would find peace and hope and joy, Lord, in you, God, as they serve you and as they love you, God, and as they give their whole life to you tonight. So, Lord, we surrender everything before you, Lord. Have your way in us, Lord Jesus, we pray. In your name, amen and amen and amen. Would you give the Lord a praise tonight? The Lord is faithful, amen? I said the Lord is faithful. How many of you are free tonight, amen? How many of you have that burden lifted off of your life, amen? That's what Jesus does, amen? That's exactly what he does. And so I'm so grateful for this opportunity to be able to minister to you. You know, church, we have something that we're going to be doing a little bit different on Wednesdays. And I want to just emphasize this, and I want to emphasize this in a big way. We're going to pursue Jesus like never before. Amen? I said we're going to start pursuing Jesus like never before.
Amen.
He's coming back. Amen?
Hallelujah.
He's coming back, and he's looking for a hungry people. Amen? He's looking for people that have their eyes fixed on him, that are so focused on him and that want nothing more than him. Amen?
Jesus.
And so I want to encourage you, listen, every single Wednesday night, it's going to get better and it's going to get better and it's going to get better. And every single time that we gather together as a church, it's going to get better and it's going to get better and it's going to get better.
Yes.
But come to the house of God, one, with expectation, and two, seek Jesus. Don't be here as a bystander. Don't be here simply as just a person that's just watching what's happening. Get in the middle of the river. Get in the middle of what the Lord is doing, and God is going to work powerfully in your life. Make no mistake about it. Amen? That is a guarantee. So I want us to pursue God in that way. And I'm going to ask that you do this too. I'm going to ask every single one of us here tonight. I want to pray over you tonight. I want to just pray for you one more time. How many of you have a relationship with Jesus? Raise your hand. You need to go to the secret place in the Lord. You need to go to that prayer closet, and you need to get your life filled up with Jesus. Don't stop. Don't stop. I've preached it many times, and I've said it this way, that it's not good enough to know him just like we did yesterday. But get in the word, get in prayer, get just, you know, before the Lord. Bring everything before him so that you can see the Lord work in mighty, mighty ways. People need to come to Jesus. People still need Jesus, amen? And so we cannot hold that back. We must pursue the Lord with everything.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.